You're listening to Revival Archives, a podcast that inspires Christians to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit by bringing the blessings of the past into the minds and hearts of those living in the present. Welcome to what I trust will be just the first in an ongoing series looking at what God has done in the past. This idea came to my mind in a conversation that I had with a dear friend as we were meeting together to pray. He has a burden to encourage God's people to pray, and as we were in discussion thinking about how we could stimulate and encourage even our own hearts in prayer, my mind was drawn to a particular historical event, an awakening that took place in Scotland. And in that awakening, the account we are told, the minister involved and at the heart of that particular district where the revival took place, he was reading to his people the records of what God was doing or had been doing, especially in the recent past. And he was drawing the minds of his parishioners to consider what God was doing elsewhere, and it was preparing the ground for something similar to occur where he was. And thinking of that, I thought, well, we could encourage ourselves by reading excerpts from the past and considering what God has done in the past. Well, that thought developed, and I began to think, well, what if we pushed this out to the world? Not just that I share it with my own congregation, but that I push it out and encourage others to participate and to learn of these various events and blessings that God has poured out upon his people in response to their prayers. So we begin with the Cambuslang revival, and just a little part of the first really developing aspects of that revival. And what I plan to do is just read a little excerpt as recorded in Land of Many Revivals by Tom Lenny. And I trust that as we read over this, that God will stir in your heart. This is really the goal, that God will stir in your heart a desire to pray, to meet with others to pray, and to pray believing that God will do what he has done in the past. The Cambuslang Revival, so-called, is one of Scotland's most famous evangelical awakenings. Often associated with George Whitefield, it in fact commenced more than 4 months before the evangelist's first visit to the district. Its historical setting was amidst considerable turbulence and uncertainty. We have already noted the hardships caused by the failure of crops in 1739 and 1740. Perhaps an even bigger issue facing the inhabitants of the parish of Cambuslang in the early 1740s was that of industrial change. Previously a rural agricultural hamlet, it became a growing centre for weaving in the 1730s, when a number of wealthy tobacco merchants from Glasgow, just 5 miles distant, began making substantial investments in such rural industries as the weaving of coarse and fine linens, mining and shoemaking. The change was dramatic, and the cloth industry in Cambuslang employed several dozen households by 1740, and soon involved almost half the inhabitants of the parish. Problems existed not only in the parish generally, but also within the parish church. Cambuslang had had a notable connection with evangelical religion under the 10-year period of ministry there of Robert Fleming from 1653 to 1663. But having languished for nearly 16 years without real supervision, had sunk on the whole to a pitiful state when the Reverend William McCulloch took charge in 1731. It appears that McCulloch inherited a spirit of dissension and extremism on his induction, and by 1740 a faction arose between himself and a group of 5 elders. Another concern for McCulloch was the growing attraction of secessionist meetings to which a number from his congregation were in the habit of travelling some distance to attend. Now, I should perhaps stop just there and insert that The Reverend William McCulloch was not known as a particularly gifted minister. He was gifted academically, he was gifted mentally, but he was not particularly gifted with eloquence. In fact, the record seems to be from other accounts that I have read that he was some 9 or 10 years or so without a call into the ministry until he received this call to this church. So you have a minister that really wasn't of much interest to many churches, and a church that wasn't of much interest to many preachers because it spent such a long time vacant. You bring all that together and you really, in some sense, do not have an encouraging frame in which to believe God is going to do something wonderful. And yet, this is what happens. Despite these very real concerns, McCulloch was encouraged by reports that came to his notice of revival being experienced in New England under the ministry of men like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield. And he took the opportunity to read to his congregation missives, attestations, and journals which he had received, outlining the workings of the Spirit through these men. In this way, the minds and hearts of his parishioners were prepared to pray for and expect showers of blessing upon their own barren land. That is the goal of this ministry here. In the autumn of 1740, McCulloch recounted the course of awakenings in England and America under George Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards. Throughout the following year, he preached almost exclusively on the subject of the new birth. While in the autumn of that year, Whitfield delivered a series of lectures in Glasgow, several folk from Cambuslang being among those deeply impressed. Two of these, Ingram Moor and Robert Bowman, a shoemaker and weaver respectively, were converted under Whitfield in the metropolis, and on their return to Cambuslang began organising prayer meetings, also circulating a petition from door to door with the aim of persuading their minister to add a regular Thursday lecture to the ordinary course of his preaching. So you can see the stirrings. Some that are, he's reading, preparing the ground. Then there is a couple of new converts and they're moving in the direction of desiring to seek God and to pray and desiring more teaching and edification from their minister. McCulloch was only too happy to oblige. Then in the first statistical account of the parish, we get a glimpse of McCulloch preaching in good weather to crowded congregations out of doors for about a year before the revival began. The first cases of extreme distress came less than 2 weeks later in February 1742 at the weekly lecture, and just after the Societies of Prayer had held 3 consecutive evenings of prayer in the months. Expectation rises, people are seeking God, prayer meetings are flourishing. And so we are told, this paved the way for the Day of Days just 4 days later, and commemorated annually for years afterwards, when, on Thursday, the 18th of February, 1742, we're told, the church was filled with the sound of weeping. That night, the manse was crowded with about 50 wounded souls. 50 people in that small rural area, feeling conviction of sin and gathering to the minister's home in order to receive counsel. The Cambuslang revival had begun, and McCulloch was compelled to institute services on an almost daily basis for over 6 months. By May, over 300 had been awakened, and as many as 9,000 to 10,000 were turning up for Sabbath services. Such was the dealings of the Lord on that occasion. And by rehearsing in the minds and hearts and ears of the people these accounts of what God had done, God was pleased to use them to prepare a people to seek him and to experience his blessing again. That is my desire as you listen to this, that you will be moved to pray individually, that you will be encouraged to gather with like-minded Christians and to pray as well, and wherever you are, to seek God for an outpouring of his Spirit upon his church. Lord, we pray to that end. We're so thankful for the records that were given to us, that are handed down to each generation to remember the works of the Lord. And Lord, we ask that thou wilt bless to our souls this account and stir within us a desire to seek thy face. Bless wherever this is heard, and grant, O God, that thou wilt send again an awakening upon our localities. Hear prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.